Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV on a wonderful Friday morning. I'm joined by Evo and John Machin to discuss Liverpool versus Crystal Palace. Cannot wait for this one. John, we dined out last night, steak, chips, peppercorn sauce, but very much Sunday.
Actually, that's exactly what I had for dinner last
night. Did you really?
In the tavern.
Go ahead, you.
Absolutely.
Really? Yes. That's madness, isn't it? Well, you're having bread and butter Sunday because it's the Premier League. John, Crystal Palace again. Got a spring in our step, though.
Pudding.
Oh, there we go. Got a spring in our step, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are you expecting? What do you think that result will mean for this game?
Nothing.
Okay. There's the first half the agenda done. Thanks, John. Go to an advert break, please, Tom.
I mean, I think the fans are still on a high. I think the players are professional. They'll know it's a difficult job going to Palace. It's a ground which gets a great atmosphere for the home fans, and it'll be a difficult game because Palace are a better side now than they were under Hodgson. They play a little bit better. They can be a little bit dangerous. They don't tend to beat decent sides, though. That's the thing. They tend to beat, you know, Norwich, but they don't tend to beat, you know, West Ham, Chelsea, you know, that Tottenham. So I don't really think they're good enough to do us any damage. So hopefully come through that with 3 points and move on.
Eva, what about you? Do you think this Liverpool side now is going to have that spring in their step moving into this game?
I hope so. I really do. Because I think even if this is a complete... another competition at all, it's still a win midweek, and that gives you an edge, like mentally. It's always easier to make the next away trip with a win midweek, and I would love them to get into a run now and like win the games, like obviously the ones without Mane, without Salah. Just win it, find a way to win it and collect the points, get through it. And like, we were in this, we were capable of doing this in 18, 19, 19, 20, where we had games where we scored 4 or 5 goals, but also just one or two in some games where we just managed it really well. And I hope we will do this against Palace.
I think that's right. I think, John, for me, you know, talking a little bit about last night's performance and sort of thinking ahead, and Evo's right, the way that we sort of professionally, efficiently dismembered Arsenal in front of their own crowd, to be quite honest with you, bodes well for another trip to London. In fact, have Liverpool come home? I don't even know.
They should say.
They should.
No, take them away from the bright lights.
Yeah, well, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, it's 4 days, though, isn't it? Where are they going to train for 4 days if they stay in London, you know?
Sure, Tottenham would let us use their facilities after knocking Arsenal out of the cup. And he's not saying any shite.
I'm really looking forward to it. You know, I just want to keep going now. And, I do think to see if we can get a good run of 3 points. We've got a break coming up, of course, haven't we? So that'll give the players a chance to sort of recuperate and get over any tiredness they have over anything, and get us closer to the day that Mo Salah's back.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, Evo, I think it's something you were alluding to before, is that Liverpool seem to thrive on these 2 games a week, don't they? It's like, whenever we play one a week, I always worry a bit more nowadays. I used to think a few years ago, oh, Jürgen Klopp's got a week to prepare, we'll be good. But the way these players are primed, it's like they need that midweek game to get the juices flowing, to keep everything ticking along.
We are so used to this rhythm. It's unbelievable. Like, we are a worse team when we have like 2 weeks off or 1 week of, like, the COVID one before Tottenham Was it this game where we? Oh no, Leicester
maybe. Which one are you talking about? Sorry.
No, that was a game where Tottenham have had one game off, 1 week off, right before. I just think that we are better when we have this two or three games a week rhythm, because they are just used to it. It's easier. It's like body memory. It's like everything and. Going into a game with one week off only on the weekend, you have to start everything again. It's not automatically, it's not like subconsciously, it's not that easy. And I think if you just keep this rhythm, win it, go back, that somehow, even if we have an international break.
I think it's actually a winter break, isn't it, we're having?
Is it technically the winter break?
Is it a winter break?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, wow. Winter break. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Regardless, you don't lose the last game before the January transfer window ends, because social media goes mental, doesn't it?
Like, I mean, the thing about not playing, or the thing about playing twice a week, is that Klopp doesn't get to do his training and his tactical stuff that he wants to do. He likes to have a lot of time with the players to work on them before games. So, and obviously, if you're playing twice a week, you're not training in that same way, are you? You're sort of cooling down and then building up.
There is a benefit to that training. We might not bear it out the week after an international break or a winter break. It's borne out between that break and the end of the season, probably in this instance, because that's when all that helps. It's just that we sometimes feel like, well, we didn't win the first game back. What a waste of time. It's not true, is it? Just a fan mindset rather than a player and a manager mindset.
And you look at Chelsea now, they're complaining about tiredness. Tuchel's saying, oh, we're playing badly because we're all tired. Well, you know, it's January, for God's sake. You've got to play till May.
Yeah, long way to go.
Yeah, like you said, the players, staff, everyone is appreciating this time, because, like, even if we want to see them play and we have somehow the feeling that they are better with a midweek game and this whole rhythm, like, even if we didn't play Leeds and we didn't play this really tough schedule and we had this game off and everything and games were postponed through COVID, it's still a lot, because, like, over this festive period, you lose this rhythm because it's not tied to midweek weekend, midweek weekend. So, to get back into that February time where you just go back to the rhythm, you know, that's easier for everyone.
Okay, we're all in a good mood. We beat Arsenal last night. We progressed to the Carabao Cup final. I'm going to give you some bad news. Last time we played Crystal Palace, the scorers were Salah, Mane and Naby Keita in a 3-0 win. Which I think is absolutely brilliant.
Thank you very much, Chris. Thank you.
You're welcome. But listen, this is a side that I think we've won 9 straight against Crystal Palace now.
And the last one at Crystal Palace, was it the
7-0?
7-0.
Tacky played well in that game. I think Oxlade-Chamberlain plays well in that game.
Bobby Hattrick.
I mean, it was a really good time out at Crystal Palace last season. But they are changed, John. They are a different side now.
They play differently. They've got. I mean, Gallagher's made a big difference to them up front. He's very dangerous. He's fast and tricky, and he scores goals. They've still got Zaha, who can, you know, he's sort
won't
of
be
in
there,
and out.
AFCON, innit?
You know, he's an AFCON. He won't be there. So, other than that, we shouldn't really have any trouble with them. Although, it'll be a bit of a more flowing game than maybe normally. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Vieira's got them playing decent football.
Do a little bit of housekeeping then. We've got Kiarte and Zaha both still at AFCON at the moment. AU's about 50% for the game. James Tomkins and MacArthur would both miss the Brighton game and look like they're very unlikely to play as well. So both doubt. So it's a severely hampered Crystal Palace side against the side from Liverpool that, all right, we're missing Salah and Mane, Naby Keita, but everything else seems to be moving in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it can be tricky, games like this, because when you think they have not a full squad, they can't play the best players, or Zaha is not there. Like, I remember weeks and games and years where we had great midweek games and we were like buzzing to just go to a mid-table team and just do our business, and then it was harder than we thought it would be. Mm-hmm. So, like, the one thing I thought about, killing them off early will be important.
Yeah, absolutely. YouTube comments fuming at me because I told them who the scorers were as well. Oh, cheers for that one, Chris. Skyrim Jones says there, and a couple of others, which is brilliant to see. Thank you very much for joining us on this one.
Hey everyone, mates here. If you're enjoying this podcast, then do go and check out Red Men Plus, our Liverpool streaming service, giving you tons of extra podcasts each and every month. There's Journo, Insight, there's the Around the League show, the debate show, the opposition preview, and interviews with Liverpool legends past and present as well. Tons of content to keep you occupied, keep you busy, thrilled, entertained, and go deeper on Liverpool FC culture. Head to theredmentv.com, sign up, and join us on Redmen Plus.
I forgot to do the trivia questions. We're going to do it now. We've won our last four against Palace. In those last four against Crystal Palace, obviously we mentioned the 7-0. How many goals have we scored and how many goals have we conceded? I'm going to let you mull that one over for just a moment or two, because it's great. But before we do then, have you got a little guess on that?
15.
I would say we scored, let's say 16, then I have a different one. 16 and we conceded 4.
We scored 16. Wow. That's right. And we conceded none.
Okay.
See, I didn't say how many we conceded, so you'd have to take. I meant none.
I did. You were still wrong. You said 15. we're here for the nitty-gritty part of the show, though. It's all about Liverpool's team. So, John, who's coming in goal? Is it Alisson? Is it Kelleher?
Alisson in goal. I think that's an easy choice.
Who's up front?
Up front is Tacky. Okay. If Ox is not fit. If Ox is fit, is Ox, I think. And then Bobby and... I've forgotten his name. Jota. He's got two goals and I can't remember his name.
You have to sing a Jota. Song. Jog Jota. Your memory.
Yeah. Jota, Bobby, and either Ox or Tacky if Ox's injury keeps him out.
I'm just looking at the injury table now and it's been updated after the presser as well. So Divock Origi, we know already, 6th of February looks like the date that he's going to be coming back. Alcantara, Thiago, the same. Harvey Elliott, 50% chance, so maybe we'll see him on the bench. Oxlade-Chamberlain, late fitness test, 50% chance. Joel Matip, Klopp confirmed that it wasn't actually a tactical move last night. It was something that they felt, and because they had Ibu and because they had Joe Gomez on there, he made that change at half-time. He's got a chance, and we know Salah, Mane and Naby Keita are all going to be out for this one. But, you know, Taki Minamino maybe going to get the nod, do you think, as well?
Yeah, I think so. Overall, he played a really good December, January time around. He scored some goals. Of course, he missed the one against Arsenal, but he's getting into rhythm. And when he's in rhythm, he's at its best. And, like, I didn't understand the whole experiments when we put him out on the left. And I think Jota was in the middle or right. I don't understand it because they're like when you play these three lads, Jota, Firmino, and Taki, there's a clear positioning because like the best one for Jota is the left wing, Bobby in the middle, wherever this middle is, back into the midfield or just really up front in the box. And then you play Taki on the right. He scores the goals with his right foot mainly. And I think Taki deserves this spot. He played good when he came on against Arsenal. And just to put it out, I would start Alisson to have him back into the starting 11 in the Premier League. So yeah, in the front three, Jota, Bobby, and Taki.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think that will be the starting front three, to be honest with you. I think, you know, question marks. Is there any question marks over the midfield right now? I think you've got to play Fabinho in the centre of the park. Jordan Henderson's going to play football.
There's no one else really threatening. There's no one else of sufficient experience and quality, I don't think, to Milner. Milner, possibly.
Do you have to play Milner in an away game at Palace?
I don't know.
I don't know that you do, but he may come in for Henderson, maybe, if there's any need for him to rest.
That's
or whatever.
Interesting.
But we do have a break coming up, so, you know, does anyone need a break?
For me, like, Milner against Arsenal in the first leg was where we're seeing Milner right now, and what we saw in the second leg was Kurt Jones against Arsenal. And there was a big difference between the two players, you know, and maybe it's unfair to suggest that Milner should join the attack like Kurt Jones. You know, he's not got that youthful exuberance of Kurt, and maybe he doesn't have the engine to do it anymore at that time. Maybe he was brought in and asked to do a job. I don't know. But all I know is they both played left side of a three-man midfield. One had a massive offensive impact on the game in Kurt Jones, and one guy kind of stayed back and was playing
safe. That should be the motivation for this game. It should be we're going there to win this game. You know, we're not trying to hold it steady in midfield. We're not trying to be strong and solid. We're trying to win this game, and therefore, you know, Kurt us every day, I would think.
Yeah, and Ivo, interesting one on this, actually. You know, we know Manchester City are miles ahead of us. You know, we'll know Manchester City, I think, play Saturday night, which we'll come on to and discuss a little bit later on in the show and stuff. But, you know, right now, is there any game when you're going at it defensively? At any point between now and the end of the season, while the gap's as big as it is? Or is it just keep swinging, because you may as well go for your 3 points, because you're not winning the league if you don't get 3 points in every game.
Yeah, that's a clear agenda. You have to win it. And I think it is the easiest to believe that we still have a chance in this year. Because, like, everything that's going around, we don't know what's happening with COVID. We don't know if Man City catches COVID again late in the season. And like the Premier League won't do anything about it again, and then they are, they may, sorry,
it's okay.
They may miss players too. So you have to go for the 3 points, and I think like Klopp is so competitive, and he will tell the squad, he will tell the team, go out and just win it. It doesn't need to be a 3-1, 5-0 or something. It's just winning the game, being professional, and give it your all, because like we learned it now, it's not an international break, it's like a mini winter break. So you can give everything you have in this game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think you always need to play your most offensive players to win a game. I mean, Klopp has famously, you know, played Wijnaldum, Milner, and Henderson in Bayern, didn't he? And, you know, you can win games by being solid in the middle. It's just, I don't think Palace is one of them games. I think we can, if we take it to them, we'll win it more comfortably.
Are we gonna have one of those games where a little bit like Arsenal in the first leg, where they are gonna sit deep and they're gonna try and make it solid, because you know they're protecting 11th in the league, they don't want to get drawn into anything. Maybe they're too far away from that, but you know, are they gonna show like they're gonna try and win this game, or is it gonna be one where Liverpool are gonna have to break them down, Ivo?
I think we have to break them down, and I think like our midfielders give us the floor in the game. Mm-hmm. Like Fabinho gives us such a high floor defensively and transitionally when we transition into the offense. And I think if we have, like, it's almost certain if we have Fabinho playing really good and the two eights, whoever they will be, if they play a good game, we have a great chance to win it. And just to touch on this again, I think it's so interesting to discuss Milner or Curtis in this, because for me, Milner is a guy who has a great energy. He has a great engine, but you have to decide, like, Milner will use his energy on one side of the ball. He will decide, will we need him more defensively, or will we need him more offensively? And like, we will decide for one of them, and on the other side we will suffer, because Curtis is young enough and dynamic enough to just take both tasks, both jobs. Because like, he's that good to be solid enough in the defense, but also just having a big impact in the offense. And I think Milly is not capable of doing this every week around, he's deciding for one space, okay, I'm going defensively all force, or I go offensively, and then we will lack at one point or another.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Maybe we are at that time in Milner's career. I mean, fantastic save and probably best free transfer we've ever had.
Ever.
Above Gary Mack, for me anyway, I'd say. You know, not only, you know, leadership, and, you know, he's won league titles before, and now he's won everything, well, won the big ones with us as well. And he's imparted that experience and leadership and, you know, dedication to the other lads, and they know what it is to play at the top level for an incredibly long time and how to go about and win things now. But it feels like now's the time when Harvey Elliott and Kurt Jones, and these are the lads that are going to take us from the foundations that Milner helped plant.
Yeah. I think Milner these days, he tends to sort of throw his weight around, you know, throws in a few tackles, maybe which are, you know, quite borderline a lot of the time when he comes on. And he does seem to have that as a role. And the other one is to help us sort of get through the end of games when we're in front.
Yes.
You know, close it all down and manage the game, where we've sometimes suffered, you know, from not doing that properly. I think that's where his role lies these days. But I think if you're setting out to win a game, then it's not James Milner on the starting 11.
Okay.
There will be other games where we need him more. Mm-hmm. And where we need him more significantly for 90 minutes or 60, or just sub him in. And maybe it wouldn't be a great sign to just let Curtis Jones out. He deserved it. He played massively. He was amazing yesterday. And he deserves it. And if we need Millie, we can bring him on.
And again, we talked about it on the final word show. You know, it's about rhythm for Kurt Jones now. And one more game before a break is probably a good thing for Kurt Jones, isn't it? We've seen what he was able to do against Arsenal.
Yeah. And if they do sit back, then he's more likely to break them down than James Milner. I'm not sure they will sit back. I don't think they're quite that team anymore. But we may force them back, and that's the difference.
Yeah,
you do need players to open up teams, don't you?
I watched a lot of Vieira's New York side. And maybe it's just because it's the MLS, but they don't sit back. The MLS, nobody can defend in the MLS. But he's doing a good job with Palace, to be fair. One player I want to talk about, obviously we mentioned it just briefly. Joel Matip, obviously maybe 75%, give or take, to play in this game. But Ibu Konate came in, solidified the defence last night against Arsenal. Ivo, for you, is Ibu now in pole position for the start?
Ibu. Yeah, definitely. Like we saw it previously in the season. Every time when Ibu plays, no matter if he's brought on or if he's starting, he's usually getting the next game too. Like always, two games on a bounce. And I'm sometimes so lost for words for him because he's so young. He's coming from France to Germany, and he's coming to this club, to this massive club, and it's such a big task. to come in as this next great centre back, who's a centre half who needs to be in the rotation early on, and then maybe he could be a full time starter. But he's really doing fine. Like, he acclimatized really well in the last couple of weeks and months, and I'm absolutely okay with starting him. And if this protects Joel from another injury,
yes,
perfect.
That's a really astute point, isn't it, John?
Because it's a very good point. Yeah, absolutely. Because we know what his track record is like. I mean, it's a shame in a way because he has been in such good form. But, you know, with a break coming up, if there's any concerns, give him a nice long time off. And Konaté looks like he's quite capable of coming in and doing the job. So, you know, why not use him?
Just sticking with you, John. I know we all agreed on Tacky to get the nod, or maybe Ox if he's back when he's fit and he's ready. Ox is actually an option for midfield that we've not spoken about if he is fit. But Kay Gordon, where does he sit after last night's performances? Did he do himself well? You know, did he miss an opportunity to maybe put himself ahead of Tacky, or did Tacky's performance push him ahead? Why Tacky over Kay Gordon?
Well, I think Kay Gordon is at the stage where Harvey Elliott was at when he first came. Mm-hmm. He comes in and you can see, excuse me, you can see the talent in the guy.
Yeah.
But he's not ready to fight for a permanent place in the side. And there are players there who offer a bit more at this stage. I mean, and maybe in 2 years' time, he'll be fighting properly for a place. That's the way I see it anyway. I mean, I don't dismiss his talent. Mm-hmm. I just think if you've got players with more experience and at this stage, you know, confidence on the ball in this kind of a setting, then, you know, they're going to get the nod ahead of him.
Yeah, I think that's right too.
It's such a fine line with these young players. Like, if he would have scored yesterday night this one chance early on in the second half, I maybe would have given him the nod to start. But, like, every moment, every little one-on-one, every dribble can somehow make something psychologically, mentally for these young players. And, like, to get the third or fourth game on a bounce where he's really involved into it, and maybe the first time where he's not that good or just average, that would damage more than just let him sit right now. That would be better in my eyes, and just bring him on when we are 2 or 3 nil up and he goes there and fires around a bit. That's easier for him and better for us.
It might be counterintuitive, this, but like, in some ways Arsenal aren't the most physical of sides anymore, and they haven't been since they last won the league, to be honest with you. And that's part of Arsenal's problem, see it from the outside looking in. Arsenal might have been a better game for Gordon than Crystal Palace in some regards. You know, maybe if he was coming up against Tommy Ashu on the right-hand side, a bit more physicality, but coming up against Tierney on the left-hand side, experienced player, but he's not going to out-muscle, yeah. He's not going to lean on you, put his weight, use his weight against you or anything. He's going to give you a bit of an easier time maybe than a Crystal Palace player would. So we're going to look at some of the fixtures then now for this season. Big game Saturday. Everton, straight after Rafa Benitez, agent Rafa leaves them, go straight into agent Gerrard. Everton, Aston Villa, 12:30. Big dunk, Steven Gerrard in the dugout. Does it get much better? Only if you replace Aston Villa with Liverpool.
Phil Coutinho.
Oh yeah, Phil Coutinho there as well. I mean, I can't wait for that, to be perfectly honest with you. Other than that, we got Manchester United against a very in-form West Ham United and David Moyes. The story's all over the place in this weekend, isn't there? Followed by Southampton City, which is, let's just wrap it up now, Southampton 3 points. right, let's look at the Saturday fixtures on their own then, John. I'll start with you. Everton Villa, big dunk Steven Gerrard. Who's getting the goals? Who's getting the win? Who's walking away?
It's a tough one to call, because Villa have started quite well under Gerrard, but also probably not done as well as maybe they could have done in some games. Big dunk coming back, the crowd are for it.
I know.
He's probably been kicking some arse, hasn't he, in training, telling people they better pull their fingers out or they'll have to deal with him. And I don't know. It's a really difficult one to call.
Evo?
I usually go with the teams who recently sacked a manager because this new
Which one of them?
like the new manager magic is always something you have to look on. But it's a great story for Coutinho. No matter how you feel about him when he left us, it's a great story to come back. I saw all these tweets like I've never seen Coutinho smiling that bright since he left us. So yeah, I think Aston Villa got this.
You think Aston Villa have got it? I think it might be Everton, to be honest. I just think that is going to be an absolute pit on Saturday morning in a good atmosphere type of a way. They've got Big Dunk back in charge. They've got rid of the Liverpool manager in Rafa Benitez. Steven Gerrard's there to fire them up even more, and Phil Coutinho. That could be one of the all-time best Goodison atmospheres, to be honest with you. I mean, and they can produce an atmosphere when they want to, Goodison Park, and it's going to be really, really tough for Aston Villa. I just can't see anything but...
Do they miss any players? Or like?
I don't know. I don't watch them that much, to be honest. I'll just look at the results and go, yeah, they lost.
And they've had Calvert-Lewin, who, since he's come back, clearly needs match fitness. He hasn't got it, but every game gets him closer. And you got Richarlison, who's always dangerous, and Damari Gray has been on fire despite Everton being terrible, you know. So, you know, they've got ability there. They just didn't seem to be able to do it.
They were, you know, hamstrung by Rafa and his tactics. Thank you very much, Agent Rafa. Lovely, glorious. Evo, Manchester United, West Ham. Is it whoever's in charge of Man United now, Ralph Ragnick, or is it their old manager, David Moyes, walking away with the 3 points?
I don't really know what to make out of United in the moment, because, like, you saw the scenes with Ronaldo being subbed out and having this little conversation with Ragnick. Yeah, that was funny. I think I like West Ham. I think they are in a good form. They proved to be much better than we thought how good they would be. Like, some of us thought they would have already been gone. And
we thought the same last season, to be fair, and they didn't go away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, we thought they would have lost a bit more by now, but they are good. I think, I don't really know, maybe West Ham?
Maybe. I think West Ham could do it.
West Ham have had some good results at Old Trafford over the years. And this season has been a bit roller coastery. They've had really good form and then dipped and come back. And if they're actually in good form, I think they'll win.
They bet Chelsea in their own stadium when Chelsea was really in form. And I think, like, when this atmosphere goes up and they are as good as they are this season or the last two, they are absolutely capable of winning it.
Yeah.
I don't think United are very good. That's the bottom line.
Yeah,
They had a decent win the other day, but it looked better than it was. So, you know, I'm putting my money on West Ham.
The other team are never out of the game with United at the moment, no matter who they're playing, and that's a long way from where Manchester United
should
be. They've
got Bowen, he's on fire at the moment, hasn't he? And Antonio's always a handful. And their central defenders are not necessarily up to scratch.
They're a tough ask.
Particularly as Ragnarok, or whatever it's called. he's criticised his English players, hasn't he? Shaw and Maguire and... Wan-Bissaka. He said they're all not up to it.
He's not wrong, though, is he?
No,
to
he's
be
not,
fair, they're all shite.
You know what your manager's telling you, do you?
He's a ruthless guy.
Yeah,
he doesn't care.
No, he doesn't, and nor should he. You know, Manchester United should be near the top of this table, and they're not. The money they've spent, you know, the players that they've got, they aren't a side, and they haven't been a side for a long time, and they still haven't replaced Ferguson, and it's glorious. And I will continue to revel in how terrible Manchester United are. And you know, you said you don't know what to make of Manchester United. I do. Toilet roll. Make them into toilet roll because they're shite, and they need. Just flushing big time. Hate them.
You touched on this, just to say, like, for me, coming from Germany, watching Jadon Sancho the last 3 years before he got there,
yeah,
he was amazing. He was unbelievable in this Dortmund side, and he comes to United, he doesn't play, and like of course he's young, he's losing hope and belief when you don't play, when no one believes in you, and when the manager doesn't believe in you. But he was amazing when he was at Dortmund. So
Van de Beek is, or Beck or whatever his name is, he's the same, isn't he? He must be sitting on the bench thinking, what the hell have I done coming in?
They put that graphic on the screen last night about the most assists since 2018 when Trent Alexander-Arnold went into Liverpool side, wasn't it? And it was like Messi was above him and I can't remember who else was. But at the bottom of that graphic was Jadon Sancho. Like, this is the level at
the start of the season. Steve and Ross and I had a review of what this coming season was going to be like, and one of the questions was about, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like, what's going to be the big story, who's going to make a big impact? And I said, I think it's going to be Jadon Sancho, but not for the reasons you think. I think he's going to be absolutely awful. And I think I've been proved right.
I think you have. Okay, Southampton City. City,
yeah. I mean, Southampton have done reasonably well this season. Though they've always got a battering in their, you know, armoury, haven't they? So I fully see City absolutely marmalising.
Yeah. Was it that 9-0 account keeps popping back up every couple of years? So not again.
Yeah, shit, here we go again.
last big game of the weekend, obviously, Liverpool Crystal Palace being at 2 o'clock, but Chelsea Tottenham Hotspur 4:30. That is a big game if we take a little look over at the league as well. You know, Tottenham 3 games behind West Ham, 4 games behind Chelsea. Only 8 points behind Chelsea. You know, Tottenham can very much make themselves
if they win their games.
They could.
And they've actually started to play a bit better. Harry Kane's got a bit of form back. I watched them the other night and Tottenham were starting to get back to where they were. Kane certainly was a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, you know, decent Chelsea, form as well, not lost
Chelsea
in 5.
Chelsea, by their own accounts, are tired. Not the side they were 2 months ago.
Yeah, so. 1-1, drawn 3, lost 1.
In fact,
the only game
they played well in the last couple of months is against us, when they absolutely played out of their skin and still couldn't beat us.
Yeah.
Who are you going with, Ivan?
Tottenham had a good run of form, like you've seen that. 1-3, draw 2 in the last 5. So I think, and it's an important game for them, like 36 points of what they've got, and they could get closer to West Ham. To the fourth place, I think. Mm-hmm. And, like, I wasn't really sure about Chelsea the whole season. I thought they were really good early on. But then, like, you guys, Paul, Steve, you always said, like, they will stumble. And they do. They really do. They are not as consistent. And I think, like, they need much more time to get mature, to get that elite. Because it's a long process. Like, we've seen so many great games from Liverpool all these years, and like, we had really entertaining football because of that. It doesn't seem for us as a long process, because it was always beautiful to watch, but it was a long, long time until we won something, mm-hmm. until we were really elite. And it will take Chelsea as much time, or maybe more.
Okay. Some interesting ones from the YouTube comments. DPS1 says, come on, you Saints. And also, Chelsea will beat Spurs. Genevieve just says, Saints, please. And she prays for it. Genevieve again, Chelsea seem a little disjointed at the moment. They may draw. I don't think you're allowed to predict draws when you're predicting results, to be honest, Genevieve. I've got a problem with that. Don't be sensible.
Tottenham all day long.
Tottenham. Yeah, even more Tottenham. Tottenham?
Yeah, I go with Tottenham.
Yeah, definitely. Tottenham, you can't predict a draw, even if you think a draw, Genevieve. It's just the way that it is. That's life, I'm afraid. Now we're on to predictions for the Liverpool game, then, before we wrap it up. Liverpool, Crystal Palace, John Machin, what's the scoreline going to be?
3-0.
To Liverpool?
Yeah.
Goal scorers? Just one?
Jota.
Yeah.
Jota.
Yeah.
And Taki.
Okay, nice, I like it.
Can I go with the same?
Yeah,
of course. Yeah, I think 3-0 is a good shout. And I think that there will be not a disjointed game at all, but like, I think we will capitalize off a Virgil header to take the lead. And then we just go and get a really professional score another two goals. Maybe Taki. I would love it for him to score. I root for him to get better and get into rhythm for the rest of the season. Yeah. So Virgil.
Bobby's due a goal as well.
Yeah.
It must be a possibility.
Definitely.
Yeah. I'm gonna say 2-0 to Liverpool. I think much the same as you guys. I think it's just gonna be professional. I think we go in there with a little bit of a swagger to us. We take the ball away from Crystal Palace. Keir Jones maybe bends one in from 25 yards. And maybe Fabinho back on the goal trail to make it 4-5 for him during AFCON. So yeah, for me, Fabinho and Keir Jones, give Jota the day off in terms of goal scoring, save them for the next big one. But yeah, that's been the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show. Thank you so much for joining us live. Of course, we've got Ivo Prokop, we've got John Machen and myself, Chris Pajak, for this one. We'll be back, of course, later on today with the Starting 11 prediction. I'll be doing that one on Starting 11 duties. I'm also going to be doing an Oppo preview with Jim Daly ahead of the Crystal Palace match on Redmen Plus. So get involved over on Redmen Plus. We've got an incredible Murals documentary coming up later on this month. So now's a great time to get involved with Redmen Plus. Go over to redmentv.com, sign up. You get the final word from last night, which was absolutely superb. It was everything that I wanted it to be. We've also got the 50 greatest Premier League players. 50 greatest Liverpool players of the Premier League era that released last month, and there's so much extra content over on Redmen Plus. Get involved. Thank you very much for joining me, gentlemen. We'll see you next time. Ciao.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.